Hi, I'm Daryl Felsberg.
I'm Brandon Davidson. We're both professional comics, and we travel the country telling jokes.
We don't always get along or even see eye to eye on things, but we've got two things in common.
We're funny, and we love barbecue.
Damn right. Each episode, we meet up with a comedy friend or a celebrity in some of the best barbecue dives in the world, and we record it live.
Food and funny? It doesn't get any better than that.
This is Comedy Barbecue. All right, everybody, I'm Daryl.
I'm Brandon.
And this is Comedy Barbecue. We're in Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
At Stanley's?
Stanley's Famous Barbecue. If you go to comedybarbecue.com and you look at my picture, you will see that I have this listed as my favorite barbecue place in the U.S.
Is it because it's in your hometown?
That doesn't hurt. That may be why it's in my hometown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is your favorite. The first time I ever had... Oh, Jesus, I just used the spicy sauce. It is hot. First time I ever had anything from here was when I was at the East Texas Comedy Festival, and yep. Tyler was nice enough to bring me a sandwich, and I ate it at 2:30 in the morning,
and
fantastic. Mm. It was good. So our guest today is feeding himself religiously. Is Kevin Farley. You know Kevin from the movies Waterboy, Tommy Boy, Joe Dirt, Two.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say that I was introduced to you in the hit MTV show Together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Together, yes. On the MTV, yeah. That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and then Still the King on CMT comes out in the summer, so we've given all your accolades, Give you enough time to swallow what you're eating. Kevin, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to be here, guys.
Long drive. We were in Northeast Texas and in Southern Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And now you're in Tyler.
I've gone all over the East Texas area.
Yeah. So you got the Cadillac Clucker. What do you think?
Unbelievable. I'm blown away at that sandwich. That is really a good sandwich.
What? Yeah. Okay, they have a Mother Clucker.
Yep.
What's in a Mother Clucker? Start there, Brandon, since you're the
Mother Clucker is a roll. You know, it's a sandwich roll. It's a jalapeno sourdough roll. Chicken thigh. A fried egg,
cheddar cheese,
chipotle mayo, and that's it. And then you go up a level to the Cadillac Clucker if you feel confident in yourself.
I do. That's what I got.
And you get the candied bacon and the guacamole.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
They've cracked the code. I mean, Texas Monthly says it's the best barbecue sandwich in Texas, and I don't disagree with that.
No.
Yeah.
It's the best barbecue.
It is.
Yeah, Daniel Vaughn, he's got it down. Best sandwich in Texas.
The best sandwich, the Mother Clucker and then the Cadillac Clucker. There's any other Clucker sandwiches in the Clucker family?
No, but they do a Clucker potato now. It's kind of an off-menu secret thing. And then they'll also do the Clucker as a taco, if you ask.
A Clucker taco.
Clucker taco, yeah.
All right.
But they've got killer sandwiches like they do the Brother-in-Law and the Shrove. You can check out their website. Great stuff.
You can't go any wrong. You can't go wrong with anything.
Right, we'll say that sentence, either or.
You can't even go any wrong.
So it's good. You can't go
barbecue.
We're having to sit outside on the deck, so you're going to get a lot of road noise. You're going to hear folks walking by, a lot of belching.
Yeah.
You're going to hear cars and motorcycles, so bear with us. So, Brandon, we've got Kevin here all the way from Hollywood, introducing him to what might be his last meal. After this.
I know.
May not.
I might die.
So we have topics for today?
Yeah, so if you've listened to the podcast, you know we don't really do this as an interview style. We just try to take a pretty ordinary topic and just see where the conversation goes. So I wanted to talk about when you were growing up, what was a job that you aspired to? You thought, yeah, I'm going to grow up and be a fireman. I'm going to grow up and be an astronaut, whatever it was. But I just wanted to kind of go around and talk about that. Like, when you were a kid, what did you think your career was going to be?
Well, we'll start with you then.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, I thought I was going to be an astronaut. Had it all planned out. I was going to go to the Air Force, be a pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
You thought that far ahead?
Oh, yeah. I wrote a letter to NASA. They wrote me back. And they sent me a little model space shuttle, and they would send me the newsletter pretty regularly. And I thought for sure that was going to happen. And
was
then,
this a Make-A-Wish?
Sort of a deal like that. Yeah, and I thought for sure it was going to happen, and then I realized I wasn't that talented at anything.
You couldn't even get into space camp.
I did space camp.
Did you really?
I did. I went to space camp. it was right after Space Camp the movie, so we all thought we were going to get launched into space. But it was awesome. It was a great time.
John is not here.
Yeah.
All right, so Kevin, what did you think you were going to do when you grew up?
Well, there was a... This is how old I am. There's a lot of trucker songs back when I grew up, like, you know, Convoy. Yeah. So I wanted to be a truck driver. I think from learning that, listening to that song, Convoy, I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, you drive around and make a convoy with everybody and look at the country. I thought it was a real fun thing to do. And I realized people were having... like homosexual love in the
all the truck stops,
and I thought
made you more intrigued.
Well, maybe yeah. And I said, well, let's really start this.
That's a different kind of convoy.
I'm like, what a benefit.
Yeah, diesel driving.
You got pulling a different kind of load.
Yeah,
all right, there we go. That's enough of that.
There we go.
I don't know what I wanted. I was one of those kids that it changed.
Yeah,
you know, I was gonna go. I was gonna be an astronaut too. I think I was going to be I probably want to be a truck driver as well. And then
Truck driver would be so cool, though.
Think about it.
Well, it's that high and it's a horn.
Dude, but don't underestimate the walkie-talkie.
Oh,
the CB radio?
We would do that.
I got, you know, 1996, I got a CB because it was a good idea. And a lot of road work. And you talk. Let me tell you something. Truck drivers will tell you what's happening. Mm-hmm. They will tell you where lot lizards are, where the policemen are.
Yeah.
Smokey.
They're the original series.
Smokey, County Mountie, Black and White.
You know what, John?
No, John. Rest his soul. All right, Tyler, you're in the mix. What?
Kind of the same thing. That looks cool.
We got some cooking, but they won't.
Jumped around.
Jumped around. Still, sort of.
Probably a vet at some point in time. You like animals as a kid?
I did.
He's gonna be a marine biologist.
Really?
Like equine?
Yeah, it's like.
Am I saying that right?
Equine?
Yeah. Pet horses and stuff.
Yeah, why not? Horses and cattle?
Not really. I remember we went to Walmart and I saw a park pusher. I was like, that looks like a fun job because it's outside. And then I got a job there when I was 18 and I actually did it. You know, and I was pushing it back. I was like, I finally
made it.
Like, your dreams can come true.
They did. At Walmart.
Yeah, just kind of not really.
All right. So here's this just popped in my head. Story about kids wanting to be things. When my son was at kindergarten or preschool graduation, they let every kid come up on stage, and they wanted the kid to tell the crowd what they wanted to do for a living. My son got up on stage, and he said he wanted to be a police car.
I'm going to get you one right now.
And then a bartender. So I was like, everybody laughed, and I thought, okay, it can't get any worse than that, right?
I'd watch that movie.
My son just pinnacled the rest of the classmates. One kid gets up and says, I want to be the lead guitarist for Iron Maiden. These are 6-year-olds, 5-year-olds, yeah.
That kid's a plant.
Okay, so everybody's like, this is cute, and I'm videotaping the whole thing. And the next kid goes up, and I shit you not, right? He gets up and he says, the teacher with the microphone, what do you want to be when you grow up? He goes, I want to be a czar. And the crowd went, ooh. All right.
Like a Russian czar? Or like in the government?
I don't know.
Like a bunch of...
I don't know what the kid wanted to be, but...
he had to figure it out.
Yeah, it was terrifying, so... Very good. All right.
So, when did the truck driving dream die?
Pretty much when I got into my... It had for a while in my teens, and then when I got in my 20s, I thought, no, that seems like a nightmare because of the time you're in the truck. And
right.
I looked into it a little bit, and I thought, I don't know if they make a lot of money, and you're in the truck a lot, you got back problems, and I started just researching it a little bit, and I thought, wait a minute, I don't know if this is for me.
And your dad, didn't he?
I think I just liked the CB radio.
The CB was...
Yeah, I think that was really what it was.
That's a phone before a phone, man.
Yeah.
That's a mobile phone.
Yeah. I've thought about, like, is there any benefit to putting one back in the car?
Yes, because you can talk to truckers. One button hit, boom, boom. You're back and forth. You're finding out where the roadblock is and avoid that county mounty.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing.
And also... A big influence was Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh,
sure,
man.
Why not?
Yeah.
But this, and I remember being like, wow, that seems like a fun thing, you know, a free living way to live, you know.
Yeah, just freewheeling, yeah.
But this wasn't just a childhood thing. This is something you had into your 20s.
Yeah, I think so. Well, like, well into it, because I think Smokey and the Bandit was a huge movie back then.
It was.
It was gigantic. Burt Reynolds was gigantic, and he had that car, and then, but I really liked Jerry Reed's part, where he was playing the guy Snowman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I really loved that. I thought that guy was the coolest.
Is it true that, I think I've heard this, that most, the Smokey and the Bandit and the Cannonball Run movies, those were all improvised? There really wasn't much of a script?
Probably the Cannonball Run ones. I know at the end of those movies, they have all those outtakes.
Yeah,
and it looked as
Louise,
if,
yeah.
It looked as if they were
just
having a lot of fun. Right,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he improvised the whole thing, no.
No, he was, not sorely, but most of the content, the jokes between them, I'm sure they were. Yeah.
He's his biggest star. I mean, he was A-list at the time.
Dom DeLuise?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
No,
yeah.
Burt Reynolds.
Just Burt Reynolds,
talk.
Yeah.
Go back to that. But every time you see, like, that SNL skit where Norm MacDonald plays Burt Reynolds.
Right.
And your brother.
Yeah.
Your brother played Dom DeLuise, and it was on the Tonight Show, and they would just keep laughing, and he'd piss himself because he had the pie. And I forgot that Chris was in that, but it was so funny.
Yeah, he wet himself.
Funny.
Dom DeLuise. He pissed his pants.
Was it Norm then? It was somebody. I think it was somebody.
I think it was Norm as Burt Reynolds.
No, it was Phil. Dan, Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman is as Burt Reynolds.
Yes, that's right. And the laughter, because they were mocking the laugh. The laugh was so big and long and exaggerated.
Yeah.
God, I forgot about that. But that, every time you see that,
oh, great.
Yeah, it makes you laugh because of the Cannonball movies. You know the Cannonball movies.
Oh yeah, fun.
I'm gonna have to find those again.
Things were fun.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm sure you can watch just that on YouTube. That's the
outtakes from Cannonball. Oh,
the outtakes
are great. Yeah, just the outtakes.
Yeah,
you can see the outtakes on those movies on YouTube.
And Sally Fields. Was she a Smokey and the Bandit? Am I remembering that right?
She was.
Yeah.
Oh. Hot.
Absolutely.
Which one left them out?
I got them ready. I just pulled them fresh up.
Which Smokey and the Bandit left out the Bandit himself? Wasn't it three?
How many are there?
There's three.
Was that?
Yeah. There's one, but there's no Burt Reynolds.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's Jerry Reed. Like
yeah,
no, and not, it would be now.
Right, not 1982.
Yeah,
it went to a theater. I'm sure it went to a theater.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
no,
in Duluth, Minnesota, or someplace. Yeah. And that was about it. But they were, those are good, funny, fun movies. You know. All right, Brandon. So what's another topic?
Okay, so let's sort of transition a little bit. So
okay, go back. Sorry.
So we talked about, you know, your first job.
Where you been, Brandon?
Where you been, Sean? What's up?
I've been right here, dude. What you think's going on?
Nothing. Hey, are you here for a little while after?
After what?
Well, we're recording a podcast with Kevin Farley.
Yeah.
And we'd love to talk about the pit.
The pit doesn't speak.
But you do for it. Can you be the pit's mouthpiece?
Yeah, man. Whatever you want to hear, dude.
I love it.
Whatever you want to hear.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So how are you?
Nice. All right. So you're going
so
back
to transition.
Sorry.
Yeah. So we talked about like the jobs you would want as a kid, and then now, before stand up, you were an improviser, right?
Yeah.
What was that like going from being an improviser, then moving on
to stand up
solo?
You know, I was like maybe 5 years ago. I was sitting in L.A. and I was just kind of looking to do something different. I had done all the acting and done all the improvising, and I didn't really want to go down and put an improv team together or anything like that, because I'd already done that a bunch of times.
These teams never worked out anyway.
And they never worked out anyway. That's true. And so I just walked up to the Comedy Store one day and started to do stand-up. You know, I just started to go up there on my own and on Sundays and Mondays, and I could get some time because I kind of knew some guys.
Right.
Because it's kind of difficult. But I would get some time and work out bits. And then Norm MacDonald called me and he said, I heard you're working on some stand-up. I said, yeah. He said, why don't you come out on the road with me and you can go out on the road. So I went out on the road with Norm for a while and I really learned a lot from him.
I bet.
I learned a lot from, we went all around Canada and stuff like that. So I had a lot of help with him and also Spade. I watched all those guys. And I just started hanging around a lot, you know, watching people and learning the art. It's a lot different than improv. You know, it's more solitary. It's just more. I like improv in the way that you know you can bounce off other people and you can
support.
Yeah. You're not out there just generating ideas on your own. Stand-up is a lot more difficult that way.
Right.
But, yeah, I find it challenging, you know, very challenging. But I also think that, like, it has a lot to do with the crowd that you're in. I mean, you could have a really good act, but a bad crowd. I started to learn that whole thing. Like, if I have a joke that works on, you know, 70% of the crowds, then it's a pretty good
still
joke.
Still keeper, yeah.
But you're still going to get 30% of the crowds that aren't going to like it.
Right.
So you got to go through enough stand-up to know that that's a good joke. That'll stay. But you got to keep doing it in order to get that percentage. Because there's going to be, like, three or four shows where it tanks.
Well, and it has to be sort of odd going from, like, improvisation where every night you're burning material and it's done and in the end. And then stand-up, you're honing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, I almost like... it's a lot more thrilling, and it's a lot. You're using almost every part of your brain when you're improvising. It's a lot more thrilling and a lot more. You're engaged, 100%. When you get done with an improv show, if it's a good one, you feel so fantastic. It's unbelievable because it's all brand new, and there's nothing like it. But
when it's bad,
and that doesn't come close to stand-up.
Stand-up is
more of a job. It's more of a tweaking, more of a honing, more of a skill kind of a thing. Whereas improv, when it's done well, is nothing but pure joy. It's unbelievable when it does well.
But, you know, go back to the original point you said about the challenges between stand-up and improv. You had the opportunity to bounce off other people. Mm-hmm. I like the fact, being a stand-up, that I'm solely reliable on myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about somebody else mucking it up, for lack of better words. I put the reins on, and it's my show. And if, by the way, I die by that sword too. If I fail, it's all on me. And I like that.
I like that.
I'm good with that. It's kind of a lone wolf, you know, on the road type thing. But still,
a lot of my improv has helped me out with, you know, writing and pitching and performing in sitcoms. A lot of stand-ups have a lot of trouble when they come onto a cast because of that whole mentality.
Makes sense.
You know, and I think they have a hard time not only getting along with the cast, you know, but also just seeing you're part of an ensemble, writing for an ensemble. Yeah. When you do a lot of improv, you really get the, you know, that really is drilled home. And so a lot of improvisers are in shows like the sitcoms and they do really well. You know, they either get a writing job or they are performers in sitcoms and that kind of thing. So it's a lot more better training. You know, much better training. Stand-ups, I think they have a difficult time with like coming onto an ensemble because they're like, wait a minute, this is my show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be my thing.
Ego.
It's not really ego.
Not
it's just
ego, but like
it's not ego. It's really just how they learn. They learn to craft their own show, and so they don't get it why somebody else has got to be on the show at all.
Or take the limelight.
And
they
comes
or,
across.
Yeah.
It comes across like ego, but really, it's just all. It's the way they learn. It's just the way they learn, you know, their craft.
How often does that happen in all walks of life, though? It seems like, you know, people just want to stand up for their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The improv seems more
positive. I know I'm good at this. Like, over here.
Can I welcome other people around us?
Yeah, like, they have a hard time.
How do I know you're as good as I am?
Exactly.
We're going to do the same thing.
Well,
it's like a band.
Exactly.
Yeah, from the opposite side, I see that. Tyler and I... we took a couple improv classes, very, very few, and that was one of the challenges for us was trusting other people in a scene.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Being more positive.
Being not going for a punchline.
Like, right.
Not trying to make people build.
Because you're trained to go for the joke and go for the punchline.
As quick as you can,
as quick as you can, exactly.
And there's silence, like, hey, and you're like, oh, I got it.
Do you? Yeah, do you?
All right. You just muffed it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break.
Uh-huh.
And when we come back, we'll get into the next topic.
Right.
Which is, what is it going to be, do you know?
I'll have something.
Oh, you don't have it yet. All right, we'll be right back.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Comedy Barbecue Podcast. Be sure to check out our previous episodes. We've already had three. This is the fourth with Kevin Farley, but you can check out our episode with John Stringer, Dustin Ibarra, or Ben Creed. Check us out on iTunes or go to comedybarbecue.com. All right, back to the show.
Thanks. You can't wait till that guy turns 60. You know what I mean? He's just amused.
He's funny.
Chocolate's great.
All right, so we may just come back in with that. So,
yeah.
All right, we're back with Tyler, Brandon, and Kevin. Okay, next topic. The second topic is...
Yeah, so we talked about what we were going to be when we grow up. We talked about the transition from improvisation to stand-up and that tension. And then staying in the world of stand-up, you may not have an answer for this. If you do, it's probably going to be an okay one. On stage, what's a time where you felt like you just bombed?
Oh, God.
It didn't go the way you wanted it to, and you knew it.
Never did.
Well...
You want to start? You want to start? You want?
Yeah, I'll start. A couple months ago, I was on the road. I did a casino in Oklahoma.
This story again.
I'm not gonna do the whole thing.
Okay.
And I was.
It's a great story, actually.
I was like just. It was not going well. There's casino machines behind me. I can hear them. Those are punctuating my punchlines. And I had some bad fish on the buffet, and I shit my pants on stage. 8 minutes into a 30-minute set.
Man.
It had nowhere to go. And it would have been better.
How much shit came out?
Enough.
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 But your goalie caught it. Like,
the goalie caught it. It was,
Yeah. You pulled the goalie's out? Yeah.
I was wearing those, like, those compression short underwear.
No.
Yeah, just like the, you know, the...
Yeah,
Under Armour style underwear.
No.
And,
I love it.
Enough that it held everything in. But I think it would have been better if the jokes were hitting. I would have been like, I could have tolerated it better. But the jokes just weren't hitting, and I had shit in my pants. So it was a bad
night. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You bombed twice. Once in your pants, once in the audience.
Yeah. To this day, that's still my favorite story.
That's a great one. I've always had that big fear.
It's
seeing
real
my
thing.
Pants on stage. And there's a lot of times I've been really close. I had a grumbly stomach, but... never quite got to the shit point. I mean, I don't know how you continue.
It didn't make a lot of sense. I listened to the audio recording, and it was like I'd had a stroke. Like, the words just weren't going together.
Yeah.
And I just looked at my watch. I was like, how much time do I have left?
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't fun.
Horrible. Horrible.
It hasn't happened since, though, so that's done and over with.
No, it's not done and over with. You only get older and looser.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. If you would have had the set of your life,
I would feel like I had to shit my pants every time I was on stage.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
And you become superstitious.
You gotta follow through.
Yeah. Now you don't want to jerk off. Now it's just
Michael Jordan's practice shorts.
Yeah. Wear my goalie helmet the night before.
All right. Be the only comic that would come out in a diaper.
Yes.
Probably not the only. Somewhere there's a jackass at an open mic in Elmhurst, New York that's done it.
Somebody, that's their closer. They just drew into a diaper.
No.
Yeah. Somebody diaper boy.
Somebody has somewhere. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Diaper?
Hell yes.
Maybe like an adult diaper.
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee somebody has. Somebody we don't care to meet, but somebody has. Yeah.
Right.
All right, Kevin. Worst bomb story?
Well, it was an improv show. I did in Chicago, and I it was some guy told me, hey, you want to do a show for this great grandma's birthday party, and it's at somebody's house. I go, okay. We get to the house, and there's like three or four of us doing the improv show, and the show stage is in the kitchen. and the kitchen was about as big as this table. I mean, the stage was about as big as this table. It was one of those tiny little stages that you fold up. And the kitchen was really small.
Yeah.
And everybody was jammed in the kitchen. And we're trying to do improv. And somebody gave a suggestion of golf. And I swung the golf club. And there was a pitcher of lemonade right next to the stage. I hit the lemonade and went all over the lady's, the grandma whose birthday it was, all over her. And like killed the show on the spot.
Or killed it on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was probably the worst. They were all just like, let's just forget this.
Yeah.
This is a bad idea.
They wipe and they go
they
back.
They wipe everything out and it paid us $100 and there we go.
Big money.
Wow.
Yeah. Big money for big times.
Right.
They got their money's worth.
I think, I don't know if I told this one or not, I had a gig. It was an outdoor concert. They had about 6,000 people there.
Already bad.
It was right. And so they just wanted me to MC. It was in the daytime in the summer. It was hot. The backstage, all they had was beer for us. So I cooled off by drinking a bunch of beer because it was a wise idea. And then I had a corporate deal that after they would literally were going to whisk me away in a hotel limousine, which means it's a 15-passenger van with its logo on the side, and take me to this hotel where they were having this private party for John Marmaduke, who was the owner of the Hastings Stores. And so I get in there, and the comic that was with me, was supposed to headline, said, they want to flip us. They want you to go last and me to go first. Okay, well, that's good. Then 5 minutes later, they go, no, you're going first. So I had to change clothes, and I'm drunk, and I'm tired, and I'm hot and sweaty, and I get up, and I start. I'm 10 minutes into a clean set, and something happens, and I don't know what it is, but something clicked in my head. I said a joke or something, and I automatically started into a bar set. This is 12 years ago. I started into a bar set, and it goes blue.
Yeah.
And there's like Teal Bivens, who was the ambassador to Sweden for the United States, was eating his salad with ranch dressing at Omaha. And all their employees were there. So, which is there's a lot of HR issues after I made some terrible, terrible gay jokes that I should not have done. And I remember most of it, but that's when I stopped really drinking. I was like, you know what? I don't think I can function.
Yeah.
You know, intoxicated and heat stroked, all for a couple $100, you know? I think that's the only time I really ever bombed. I'm not saying I'm that good, but you know I am. But I'm getting at is that I can't think of any other time I really just ate shit.
Right.
You know, or had something like that. Right?
Or actually shit.
Yeah, and actually shit. I've had some uncomfortable situations, mainly timing things.
Didn't you have like a gallbladder attack on stage?
Yes, thought I had a heart attack. I was in Scottsdale. And I was on stage, and I thought I had a heart attack.
Where?
It was like a corporate deal I did there. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was, it was like it felt like a heart attack. And so I come home, yeah. So
you guys both had your gallbladders removed, right?
Yeah. Same time. We just exchanged
just
it.
Just held hands side by side?
No, sir. Just a transplant.
Face off, the moment you just
switch your gallbladders. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I've been running 5Ks. There's, I thought I had a heart attack. No left arm, no jaw thing, all that stuff. Finish the set, I come home, 2 weeks later, I go to our show, and after I went to the ER, said, I said, I have to have a gallbladder out, no big deal, take your time. 2 weeks later, I have another attack, but it's infected now, and so it has to come out. Yeah, it was...
Wow.
Yeah, but you're on stage, you don't... Does the show go on? You know? I would pretend like I was rubbing my neck, but I was like...
Do I have feeling here?
Like, yeah, I was like,
check my pulse. Yeah, like,
yeah. I don't think there's a quad. Yeah, yeah. I would put the mic in this one and check it. You know, no pain in the jaw. So I lived, apparently. That was good.
Tyler, what about you? When's a time where you just knew you were eating it on stage? If you can't think of one, I can answer for you.
I got it.
tonight.
Like a showcase called Night of the Divas, and it was me and you.
Night of the Divas?
Instead of Divas, it was Divas.
It was male Divas.
There was like an opera singer that went before me, and
who won a Grammy.
With The Lion King, the Broadway show, and he sung like a show to me. They wrote just like.
Knocked it out of the park.
And it was all older people, like 70s.
70s and 80s.
And I went up and I had a bad habit where I don't change anything that I wrote down, so I was like, I'm just gonna do all this stuff. It happened to my mom and dad, it's all older people related, and I just like, so my mom has blah blah blah, and I just, these old people were just killing me. And I was like, I didn't know that you could bail. I was like, well, they gave me this one. I want to do this one. Like, I'll do it the whole time. And I sat down and no one would talk to me.
I'm more concerned about your mother being diagnosed with blah, blah, blah.
It's a shame.
It's a terrible disease.
They need more awareness.
There should be some marches. I don't think they do it for that.
Marches
is not the right word.
Yeah.
Marches are used
for other things too.
Also, no. We're gonna walk away from those two words and go back to.
You probably be into that.
A five. Some sort of a 5K fun run for blah blah blah.
Blah blah blah.
Beef, and the logo just be like something swift and cool, like a B cubed. B3.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it made it cool again, because blah 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 is a disease we can handle. HIV, cancer, blah 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 is the one we should get it. So, alright. You were about to add something.
No.
You should have, because
he's about to yes and the hell out of this.
Oh, he's about to. Yeah, you have to, yes. And stop doing this. Yeah. That's a yes and that.
I've got my yes and skills.
All right. So, do we have a third topic?
Nope.
That's it. All right. So, what's that?
It's pretty painless.
I think it was. So that's
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back, and then we'll talk. We'll outro with dates and what have you, and then we'll get Jonathan over here if he's not passed out.
Yes.
Jonathan Shaw,
pitmaster.
Assistant pitmaster. All right. Very good. We'll be right back with Jonathan Shaw.
Hey, thanks again to Kevin Farley for being on the Comedy Barbecue Podcast. You can check out Kevin June 9th through the 12th at Hyenas Comedy Nightclub in Dallas, Texas. June 5th through the 19th in Kansas City at Stanford's Comedy Club. June 30th through July 2nd in Reno, Nevada. And July 7th through the 10th at Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, Florida. Check out Daryl Felsberg. Daryl, June 30th through July 2nd at Hyenas Comedy Nightclub in Dallas, Texas. And for more info on Dallas, on Daryl, you can go to DarylFelsberg.com. For more info on Kevin Farley, you can go to KevinFarleyOfficial.com. And me, Brandon Davidson, you can check me out on Twitter at Brandon Davidson. And you can catch me at the East Texas Comedy Festival in downtown Tyler, Texas, June 21st through the 25th. I'll be on almost all of those shows, hosting and whatnot, with some fantastic comics. Michael Winslow, Chris Fairbanks, Paul Varghese, the boys from Second City in Chicago. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. You can check that out on EastTexasComedyFestival.com. All right, back to the show.
All right, we are back. We're here at Stanley's with the is it assistant pitmaster?
I am the pitmaster, sir.
So the pitmaster, and he called me sir. I like this kid already.
El Solo El E Uno.
I don't think that's Spanish. I don't know if that's
habla español. Sí, cuando quieres.
Oh, look at this guy.
Cuando quieres, yo lo hablo bien, güey.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
We have to run this through Google Translate later.
I think, we have to. All right, so Jonathan, talk to us a little bit about what you guys do here at Stanley's. Tell us about the pit, a little bit of history on the business. What's happening?
All right, this place has been open almost 60 years now.
60?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Correct.
About to get that AARP card.
That's right.
Man. We're holding on to the name Stanley's because we love J.D. and what he started a long time ago. J.D. has since passed. Mm-hmm. His family operated the restaurant for a while, and then since then, my boss, Nick Pences, his wife, Jen, bought the place, and then it's kind of a resurgence of the same place, you know, but we honor them for what they did to get this place going.
How long ago was that when Nick took over?
Nick took over 10 years ago. I've been here 7 of those 10 years.
So by all rights, you know, in barbecue community, and we go around it mainly to Texas. We've done from Arizona so far this way, but that's not a long time for a guy to
burst on the scene.
Yeah. He's kind of a Franklin, sort of him and Franklin.
Their timing was almost pretty close, you know what I mean? Like, I remember meeting Aaron at we were doing a Super Bowl party when the Super Bowl was in Dallas.
Yes.
It was for the media, actually. And so met a lot of other barbecue people. Aaron Franklin was one of them. We ended up hanging out until about 3 in the morning, drinking cold shiners and talking about how we operate our restaurants.
Yeah, you do.
Became friends, and you know, he's got what he's got in Austin. We are who we are here, you know. I don't know why there's a separation between, like, what's better.
Right, right.
It's culture. It's not it, anything. It is. It's a different culture than it is here, it really than it is somewhere else. But we've seen it all, and you have to love each one. We go to Lockhart. We've done Smitty's. We've done Black's. Right. We've done them all. And they're great. But you have your favorites for a certain reason or another. And I have to tell you, I did the... I headlined the East Texas Comedy Festival here, I guess it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And the boys brought me a mother clucker, and I didn't get to, I won't eat, in fact, this whole conversation you missed earlier, I won't eat before a show because I will shit on stage and for an hour after. So they held it for me, wrapped it up, 2:30 in the morning, sitting in my hotel room, and it was I think it was the greatest thing I ever had in my life.
Even then,
the grease had coagulated just right.
I haven't eaten.
So how did the mother clucker happen?
Well, we started cooking chicken. I created a spice for chicken. Like, chicken apparently was in demand, so we started cooking thighs we thought were better. They don't dry out like breast.
Juicier.
We didn't want to do, I don't know, this area. It seemed like people don't want to buy half or whole chickens or chicken with bones, so we made the chicken. And then, actually, it was my counterpart at the time. I have to give him credit, but I won't deny that my friend Jordan Jackson wanted to do something special with a chicken. So he thought of fried egg. We made a spicy mayonnaise. It's kind of like an aioli, spicy mayonnaise aioli. We just call it clucker sauce now.
Yeah.
And just put that together, it's blowing people's minds. So.
It has. And their colons.
Right.
And their minds and colons.
Colons getting blown.
Oh,
like
Kevin and I are just blown, literally. having trouble with it. So it's like, it's almost like a metaphorical circle of life, the whole egg and the chicken.
Really? They ended up being together.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing. It's
I thought I was done with you.
Yeah.
No, it's like the endless circle.
I love Stanley's. I've lived in Tyler 10 years, so I've sort of watched, you know, Nick and the Pensises come in and really put their stamp on it. And I remember when it was just the indoor space and a very small uncovered patio. And everything has changed in a really positive way. I mean, the brisket has gotten a little fattier, which I love. Leave the fat on that brisket.
Bark is much better.
The ribs just kick ass. And then just the way you guys kept some of the old menu, but just modernized it.
Right.
Brought in the beer garden, the live music. This, if you've never been to Stanley's, if you're driving through East Texas, you've got to make a pit stop here.
I'd say so, yeah. I'll put it on the list.
Yep.
What, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about, we serve it till we're out and you better come the next day, or what's the deal?
I mean, essentially, that's the way anybody in the barbecue business does it. We don't like to let people down, so we're shooting a lot higher. That's something that Nick and I have learned through the years. I adjust daily to be able to fulfill the mouths of as many people as possible. I don't want to be letting people down at 7 o'clock. Ribs or no brisket. I mean, brisket's king, so I gotta make sure that's there all the time. Rib production, it's such a crazy variable, you can't control it. You don't know how, you know, Kevin might show up with five other guys and say, we want
what you
20
got?
Racks of ribs, we're going down here and we're having a party.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, here's 20 racks. Well, it was my last 20.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the next 20 people that didn't get any, you know what I mean? But you feel bad, so you want to compensate. So that's how we operate. It's a daily fluctuation. It's just like me, because I've been here this long, because I'm here day to day.
Can I have your finger on the pulse a little bit?
Yes, I can feel it.
People don't get the term, you know, fresh barbecue. What I mean by that is that it's not been on the pit for 4 days.
No.
It wasn't heated, reheated. It wasn't, you know.
We didn't make it on Tuesday, right. Sell it to you on Saturday.
There you go.
It's made today.
Didn't rehydrate it.
Or overnight until today.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. That's why barbecue is so cool. That's why people can't get it.
Yeah.
Or some people are horrible at it.
Yep.
Right.
And those of us that live our lives to do it, you know, we've got our finger on the pulse. That was a great term. I appreciate that, Brandon.
I think you did. Yes, you used it twice yourself.
Well,
he's going to say it nine times.
I'm going to use it later.
He's going to yell at the employees, you guys get your fingers on the pulse.
And they're all going to look at me like, what is going on? Yeah. They're going to put the their fingers in the air.
That's great. What are the out? If somebody's to come in, when do you guys open? When you close?
We do breakfast Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
We pause for an hour between 10 and 11 so everybody can get reset for lunch.
Sure,
but we're open almost all day from 7 until we do 10 at night during the week, midnight on Friday, and then Saturdays we close.
Whoa,
at 10.
Midnight on Friday. Wow.
And live music every day of the week.
Yeah. So when you have live music going on Friday night, you have food still. I mean, I can
absolutely. You got to keep it. So Friday's a big day to pump out food. You know,
really?
We're pumping
and
out.
And the music here, I mean,
It's good. I have a lot of friends that are you know, Texas music artists, and they come, Uncle Lucius, you know, those guys.
Right. And Shiny Ribs comes here.
Shiny Ribs.
Uncle Lucius, Patrick Sweeney was here. Yep. We had the London Souls. I mean, just like, get Ben Harper here before too long.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Right, yeah.
We fed him, though, one time, and I was like, this is great, man.
Cool, yeah.
Get those kind of guys. Like, so it's great barbecue, great music, great atmosphere.
Killer happy hour kind of stuff on tap.
It's not manufactured. That's the other thing, too. You see a lot of stuff now where it's produced, you know. This is it. This is one of us. This is one of those places. So
we're the raw deal.
Yeah, the real deal.
I'm just a punk-ass dude from Kaufman, Texas, man, you know?
Yeah, but you got the finger on the pulse.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. We end it there. All right, Jonathan, thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.